Uniquely.
Issaquah.
Welcome to another episode of Uniquely Issaquah. I am really excited today to have two tribal council members from the Snoqualmie tribe join me. So please welcome Suzanne and Jolene. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, glad to be here.
Hello, thank you for the invitation. Good to see you.
It's really nice to see you. This is a little different for us. We've been meeting for a little while in coffee settings, but today you're joining me in a podcast. Super fun. Thank you. I wonder if we can start off, Jolene or Suzanne, just telling our audience a little bit about yourself.
Oh, we are CEO of Toqualibu Da'ishad. Slaxalitza Toqualibu Da'ishad Jolene William Seedsta To'alshad Stokalbu. Hello, honorable ones. My Indian name is Slaxalitza, which means woman who remembers. That was given to me by my family in June of 2023. And my American name is Jolene Williams, and I am from the Snoqualmie people.
And Suzanne.
Wiyats, Suzanne Salto Seedsta, to all Chad Stokwabu, Spek Seedsta. Hello, my name is Suzanne Salto, is my government name, and I am from Snoqualmie, and my Indian name is Snowbird.
That is beautiful. Well, thank you both for joining me. A lot of the work we've been doing together over the last couple of years has been around our roles as council leaders and community leaders. And I'm just curious if you can tell our audience a little bit about what your job is like as a tribal council member and why you decided to do it. And we can start with you, Suzanne, if you want.
As a tribal council member, to me, it's a lifestyle. It's not really a job. It's something that I enjoy. I enjoy people. I enjoy meeting people such as yourself. It was important to me to put my name in the hat for election because it's identity for us as a people to be able to have a voice. Latter years, we've not had a voice at tables and different settings. And I think it's important that we have leadership roles and being able to teach our younger generation. So I feel like I am purpose to be where I'm at today. Mm. There is a lot of prayer that came in. I didn't take this role lightly when I put my name in the hat, so to speak. And Jolene and I, our family keeps us accountable. Mm-hmm. And so everything just with Jolene and I, we do through prayer, and our family lets us know when we're out of line. Yeah. And we don't take that lightly either. And we keep each other accountable. And that's been the most important thing for me working with Jolene as well, is that I have that right-hand person that helps me when I need help, prays for me when I need prayer, mm-hmm. and laughs with me and cries with me. And so it's been an awesome experience. So I don't know or haven't heard of anybody else that has that in any other setting of leadership. So I think it's really special. So.
It is. What you two have is very, very special. So you're making it sound like it's a calling. And mm-hmm. how long have you been a tribal council member?
I was tribal council 2008 to 2010.
Wow.
And then got reelected in 2016 to current.
Wow. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Jolene, tell us a little bit about what you do as a tribal council member and what took you to this calling. Why did you want to do this?
Well, I look at being a tribal council member. I will start on the second question, and then I'll move back to the first. It's an obligation. like Suzanne mentioned, that we've had some history here. We are fifth generation leaders in our family. Mm-hmm. Our family's part of the Treaty of Point Elliott of 1855 that was signed down in Mukilteo. And so when you think about that and the landscape that our grandmother laid out for us and direction she had given me, it was something that I don't feel I had a choice in the matter because it was embedded in who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. I commend her for some of the things that she did coach me along the way and instructed me to do. I feel I've done a lot of those things collectively today and set a foundation for next generations to follow. How I got here was through her. She raised me. She kind of coached me through high school. And I remember on my graduation day, she said, "Jolene," I go, "you need to go out. Since you graduated high school, you need to go back out and continue to learn mm-hmm. and bring that back and use it against those that have done these things to our people." Mm-hmm. And I've done that. And I don't know when the cycle of that will end, if it'll break or anything, if it will go. I believe it'll evolve because we do have our children or our grandchildren that are watching us to this day. Learning through our actions. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it as an obligation because of the things that have been coached to us along the way by our grandmother and even our own mothers that, you know, had to sit with our grandmother over time of how much time was committed to this work. Mm-hmm. And I commend my grandmother for doing the things that she did because it was doing things with less and getting more accomplished with that because the focus was always, you know, fighting for keeping who we are and letting it be. And so that's how I got here. And I feel it's just an obligation to keep it moving.
And how many years have you been serving?
I've been on council. I followed Suzanne from 2008 to 2012. And then I was reelected in 2016 and still.
That's great. And for our audience, the Snoqualmie tribe has been growing. How many tribal members are there now? Approximately.
I think the last number we looked at was like 1350.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. One of the other things I've had the great pleasure of talking to you about is the Snoqualmie Tribe's Ancestral Lands Movement. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about that movement today.
It's a movement to help kind of share the important values of Snoqualmie Tribe because we understand and we know that our ancestors walked these grounds before they were where and how they exist now. The dynamics and the graphics of it were completely different. Mm-hmm. There was everything that you touched during that time before things were changed and colonized. Everything was part of who they were. We made our clothes out of the things that are out there. We harvested the berries, the medicinal plants. We understood what each of those plants meant and what they could do for our well-being. Trying to sustain that has been a challenge because it's trying to normalize those concepts to where everybody else can understand. Mm-hmm. And so preservation is key. And that's why the Ancestral Lands Movement is the way it is to make sure that the history of who we are as a people and the way this earth needs to be taken care of mm-hmm. Is important to our values and to who we are.
It is. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add, Suzanne?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is knowing and sharing the knowledge of stewarding the land. We are stewards and I think it's important to share that knowledge with others to respect and honor the land that we are on. And it's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. So not much more that I can add than that it is a responsibility that we carry for our younger generation as well as others.
Yeah, it was fantastic to have some tribal staff come out and present at the city council, you know, the the purpose of the movement and what it encompasses, but also to tell us how we could support it. So I really very much appreciate as well when I got to go on a sister city visit this year, that I got to take that message international, and the excitement in hearing that over in Morocco was some of the same challenges you're talking about now, with people coming into an area and colonizing it, and then the connection that tribal members have towards the land and what a big part of it is conservation, like you said. One of the topics that's, you know, I get asked about a lot is, we're a growing area. There are more people moving to this beautiful part of the country all the time. One of the big draws is all the fantastic things you can do outside, you know, from hiking, swimming, fishing, biking. But it has a big impact on the natural environment. What does it mean to you to recreate respectfully?
For me, leaving the land better than what you've seen it. If you see trash or garbage, pick it up. We teach the younger, especially younger ones, on a daily basis, but it's really a teaching at Canoe Journey as well.
Oh, thank you for bringing up Canoe Journey. That's one thing we're going to come back to as well.
So when we're out on camp, we have to keep the lands clean, and we teach the kids, even though it's not, does it belong to you? Didn't put it there, pick it up and throw it away.
That's respectful.
So, and we try to leave the lands better than what we've,
how you found them, yeah.
Right.
Jalene, did you have any thoughts?
I think that Suzanne hit it right on target. I think it's just a matter of getting to the next generation to be mindful and to understand that Mother Earth is our friend and we should be caring for her in a good way. Otherwise, there's ramifications, right? You can look at it in many spectrums. I think an example would be, you know, shifting of the rocks down on the riverbank. That changes how salmon life can sustain themselves in the river. And it all, you know, it's important to understand what each of those elements out there, the trees, the rock, the dirt, all of those play key components in the success of habitation. And the tribe takes great pride in all the restoration work that we do, because it's helped sustain the salmon that we live and breathe from. And so it's just being mindful of each part of Mother Earth is important to sustainability of all things.
It's all very interconnected. And in my years in Issaquah, talking to the community, I always say there's a built-in capacity of nature to for us to recreate and play in it, and we have to be respectful of it, or we overrun it and we destroy it. And in that case, water quality, trees, air quality, it's all of it. And I really appreciate the tribe has really gotten out there and given that message of, we know people came here to play and to climb, but think about the space that you're occupying and leave it better than you found it. Those are really great messages. The city and the tribe have worked together on a number of projects over the years, including the installation of a beautiful piece of artwork down on the Rainier Trail, the Troll Project. And I'm wondering if you want to talk about some of the important priorities for the tribe in projects when we partner together with the city. How do we work together, and what are the kinds of things we could be working on?
I think we work collectively together. I think we're, with this relationship that we've started by engaging with community engagement that Suzanne and I have been working on since 2016, is understanding each other a little bit better.
Right.
And looking at each other in a spectrum of identifying what those priorities are, and then finding ways to figure out how can we do that.
And one of our first projects was the Snoqualmie vaccination clinic at Sammamish State Park during COVID, which was a real emergency and the coming together and supporting. Do you want to talk a little bit about that project? That was just a great beginning for us.
Yeah, that was a huge project that the tribe was trying to be a solution and to be a calming to the storm in the middle of the pandemic, because isolation is not something that individuals do very well with.
Yeah.
And so when that opportunity came through the federal government for the tribe to be able to use the financial resources, it was just a comment that ignited by the council. And then it just kind of like, okay, what can we do? And then we just kind of hit the ground running. And it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're trying to get everybody calm so we can get the people back into the rooms and into the space and engaging with one another. It was really powerful because the individuals that could not afford to go get vaccinated or didn't know where to go because resources were limited, having that avenue opened through our casino ballroom for individuals to come in to do a vaccination.
That was great.
It was a good message for the community to see and to know that we're here and we care.
Right. Yeah, I think that was my introduction to working with you too, and really quickly saw how strongly you believe in relationship building and how hard you work at it. I think too, in our time having coffee conversations, one of the things the three of us explore are the ways to work together. And we have talked about art projects. We have talked about including the Snoqualmie native language and signage and sharing more of the story of the Snoqualmie tribe that has been here since time immemorial. Mm-hmm. Are there any other thoughts you have, Suzanne, about other areas that we talked about? I mean, we did talk a bit about how we can support each other in social services as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what I'd like to share is, first off, I want to start with that we are, it's just two governments wanting the same thing in maybe different forms.
Right.
So we're not any different. We're both looking out after our communities. And when we have time to collaborate and do partnership, such as clinics and anything else that's on the horizon, behavioral health
grant
issues,
opportunities that we can share.
Yeah. We only make the communities better working together versus not. I've really enjoyed the relationship that we've had this last couple of years that you being mayor has... This relationship has really meant a lot as an advisor and friend, and I would hope that the community sees the relationship that we can that we're just building off of, and
yeah, it's fantastic.
And we're same, just wanting the same things.
Yeah.
And different things in different fashion.
For our communities, we want them to be safe. We want them to be healthy. We want
to
have good educational opportunities. And really excited now that it's actually going to be the two of us and the mayor of Sammamish. It's broadening the circle, building more relationships. It's fantastic. I also wanted to ask you if there are any upcoming projects that the tribe is undertaking that residents might have a keen interest to learn more about. Some things that the Snoqualmie tribe is working on.
I think one thing that we are currently we actually had our first kickoff meeting, and we're doing our curriculum build for the classrooms.
Right.
And so we actually have our consultant coming on site this week and tomorrow and Friday. So we're really going to be digging our heels into figuring out the pathway for that and seeing how soon we can get the classrooms educated on Snoqualmie tribe in a good way from our perspective, and then we'll be incorporating the schools eventually down the road. So that's one of the projects that Suzanne are going to be able to be a part of. And
that's really exciting. Very exciting.
We just helped support Carnation by drafting a letter to support them for their road improvements out there.
Oh, great.
And so on 203 and the Tote Hill Bridge. We also are, we also were able to partner with you on Highway 18 and keeping each other informed on certain projects there on there that's going to, you know, delay individuals of either getting to work or home and making sure everybody is
can do that safely.
Yeah. And so we've had some really good headway on of capitalizing on this friendship and partnership relationship building.
Yeah, it's been a great benefit to all of the cities that are around that significant arterial, you know, major highway. It impacts all of us, our residents, our the people who come to work. And I just appreciate all that we've done together in the last 3 years to guarantee the funding. Now the push is going to be to guarantee that the work gets done. So, but that's a great example of what this relationship has done. So I wonder now if we can take a little step back and talk about the canoe journey, which I just learned about maybe 2 years ago. And it happened last summer out here. What is the canoe journey and how did the Snoqualmie Tribe participate?
Canoe journey, we did it. It was paddle to Muckleshoot. I can't remember the year, but it was, I think it was the early 1980s, maybe.
Oh, wow.
99 or 90 or something like that.
We started participating, well, I started participating in 2004, I believe. And at that time, it was, for me, in my life, it was, introduction to drums. Drums, if you in our culture, is your heartbeat, and so it sparked, it livened my spirit, and I've been involved ever since then. But Canoe Journey is where a tribe hosts, and we usually do the river journey, and then we work our way to wherever the hosting tribe is.
Different tribes may join you along that way.
Correct.
Making a larger and larger and larger group of canoes.
Yes, which usually ends up being over 100 canoes at the end, which is a phenomenal sight to see, 100 plus canoes in the waterway. And we do a protocol asking permission to come ashore. And then we go and feast and share our songs and stories. Wow. And so it's huge, and it's a very spiritual experience. And it's personal to however you receive it.
Wow.
So.
And it's a place of sobriety. Individuals that come out. It's supposed to be a sober place. Mm-hmm. And so it's a place for families to come together because they travel with you from campsite to campsite when you're doing a landing at different locations and traveling to different tribes. And so the circle will start out with you. It'll grow each time you go to a landing. And then when you get to the final place, it's all of us coming together and sharing, like Suzanne had mentioned, sharing songs, dances, drumming, appreciating each other. Sometimes it's even listening to someone's story of walking away from addiction and how the journey has helped them along the way to connect on who they are and connecting to their identity. And so it's like a second awakening for some, because you do have the stories of residential kids that were displaced long ago, and some of them even currently to this day, which is the foster care program. You do have tribal kids that are still like not within their families, and they are deeds of the state, but it helps them come back once they find out that they are a tribal member. And it's easy to kind of welcome them back in the space to understand who they are, because I don't know if others understand it, but when you're not connected to your family in a way that normal families would be connected, there's a void in a child. And it pulls you to figure out who you are. And sometimes when you go in that circle on canoe journey, it resonates you and it allows you to connect back to that beat. And it will tell you that this is where you're supposed to be.
Wow.
And so it is a spiritual thing. And it depends on if you're seeking that or you're just trying to figure out your steps in life to stand on your own. So it's a very powerful thing. It's welcoming for others to observe. I know I've had testimonies from friends that haven't done it before and they wanted to understand. I go, just come into the space. I go, just sit and listen. And you'll get your own experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll understand a little bit of it more because we're all the same, but we're all different. And we all come into the same circle for different reasons and different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But we all leave full.
Yeah, you're telling me that as different tribes tell their stories, it can go all the way through the night.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different stories to be told.
And you got some of them travel from like as north into Alaska. I think we had Alaska come down.
Alaska, Hawaii.
I think we had New Zealand come in one time.
Canada, New Zealand.
That's amazing.
Japan.
Mm-hmm. One time.
Japan one year.
Wow.
And so do you have to follow along? It's really powerful being able to come in together. And as we travel on those, the tribe will do crafts, but they'll create and make things for host tribes. So when we go to their land, we do come with gifts. We come with gifts. We're thank you for opening up your space for us to be here. And so we kind of show respect to them and share our songs with them and explain what they mean and move forward. And it's very powerful. It's just someone that I think a real understanding is just come into the space.
Right. So I'd like to ask a question about the pathway that the Snoqualmie tribe had to take to be federally recognized in 1999. Can you tell our audience what that looked like?
Sure. It's been a long road, but there is individuals out there, I know in the broader community and the listeners here. Snoqualmie tribe is a signatory of the Point Elliot of 1855. And we have signers on there that are Snoqualmie. And that work started way before that time. There was a governor appointed at that time, Isaac Stevens. He hired someone to come in and get the historical knowledge of individuals that were not wanting to leave a reservation. Are not wanting to go to a reservation. And that's where kind of some of our history comes from and the membership that's in the tribe now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to go through a process of determining that we continuously have gathered and we've had to document that gathering component.
Meeting and
gathering.
Discussing issues.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we've had that. And so we've had to create a paper trail of those events. And so we actually can go back and look at record that our grandmother and others have created and left for us. So to see their signature to this day is still kind of warming to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been able to establish relationships from 1855 all the way up into, I believe it was 56.
Mm-hmm.
Then after World War One, I believe it is, the changing of the guard as in president, pulled that recognition. And so the fight continued from there because we were all, at that time, we were having a relationship with the federal government that whole time.
Right.
And then 56 came and the criteria from the federal government changed, which consists of like, there's seven of them.
Seven criteria.
Yeah, and culture,
meetings.
Locations, meetings.
And these were criteria that tribes had to meet in order to be federally recognized.
Yes, and they had to go through a process of fact-finding, being able to get everything pulled together, the tribe, and then it goes through a process after that. It has to it's really intense. It took the tribe from 56 to 1999 to get recognition. And we have had great leaders in the tribe that have documented great things for us. You have part of the Moses family, Judy Moses. You've had Emma Sweet, Francis de Los Angeles, part of the Zacchaeus family. You've had Jerry Canem and Evelyn Canem, which is the Canem family who we're descendants of. And then you've also had the, did I get them all? Fort Moses, Fort Louis, Zacchaeus, Canem. Oh, then you had Catherine Barker and her family and Dawina Forg, which is her mother. Dawina Forg and Evelyn, her sisters, half-sisters, they shared the same mother. And so that kind of branches out to the fifth family, which were combined by our great aunts. So they've left a really good pathway for all of us to kind of see the work that they did, documented everything. And then we've had to continuously gather in a place. We used to gather down in Tolt. We've gathered up in Monroe at the Evergreen Longhouse for meetings. And so it's just kind of keeping track of how often we've gathered and putting that all together in that. We've participated in cultural events along the way that we had to report. And then the lineage of our family on who we trace back to on that, the treaty. And so all those had to be proven. And then the BIA would review those things. And if
the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Yes, the Bureau of Indian Affairs had to assess it. And then it's put on registry for a certain amount of time. And if there's challenges to it by other tribes of inadequacy or they have anything to say about it, then they were able to provide comment. And so the fight was delayed for a little bit. And I think we got actually recognized in 97, but there was a challenge to that petition. And so then we had a two-year fight after that with, because someone had opposed it.
Yeah.
A tribe had opposed it. And so we had to keep fighting. We've heard from our leaders, even current leaders and previous leaders that have passed, that we had to pull our money together to get
stamps.
Gas. Even just coming together for a meeting, everybody, it was all potluck. It's not catered like today. So we've had to make some changes to sustain each other and share our resources to keep ourselves alive. But the Snoqualmie tribe now is the individuals that did not assimilate to a reservation. Not go to a reservation. So we are the tribe that has membership in King County, in Whatcom County, Snohomish County. They may live on a reservation, but they are not a part of that membership of that tribe.
I'm sure that many of those listening today did not know that whole long story. It sounds arduous, very long journey.
Well, another thing that I would like to point out is having to document all this, we as a people, I believe we're the only ones that have to document who we are. And that didn't come easy for us because we are oral people and we're storytellers. And so to have to document all this, that was a challenge in itself.
Yeah.
Right? So people don't know that. And they're still a few people that are still living today that help fight that fight. And it's pretty powerful when you come across these elders that are still living today and
went through all of it.
And they, they still bring up the stories of having to buy the, chip in for resources. And it just makes you, that's why we honor our elders, because they did the fight, even the fight for our casino and all the years that it took to get that. So that's one of the reasons why we honor our elders in high esteem, is because they fought fights that we didn't. So
thank you for that. So ladies, I'd like to ask you both, what is your hope for your legacy for the next generation? Suzanne, do you want to start?
Yes. A very special friend of mine, when I first met her, I was at a conference and she had started with, I live to lead, to leave, and to leave a legacy.
That's beautiful.
And I guess my legacy for what I would hope for would be teaching the younger generation and my children as well to never give up, to fight for who you believe you are. For the individual self as well as our people. We come from a family, 5-year generation leadership role, and all the planning that we do and all the strategizing that Jolie and I do together, we pray. That would be the number one thing for me, is to my family to know and the tribe to know that we pray. Mm-hmm. We call each other and we pray with each other and we pray over everything and we talk about everything. So prayer for me would be a legacy for me, for my children and everybody to know, as well as when it comes to planning, it's not for me today, it's for the children.
Yeah.
And it's for the betterment for everybody, not just my family, but for all families in the tribe.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So,
Jolene.
The legacy that I think, just to know that there's hope in everything. And it's what lens you look at everything through. And it's never about today or now. It's about what you're going to do to ensure that tomorrow is a little bit easier for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And and knowing that you have to reflect on yesterday and the decisions of yesterday, but not stay in yesterday, and that tomorrow will always be better. And I don't know, when I think about stuff like yesterday and today and tomorrow, it's a humbling thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that prayer has been our one position that we've always done. When there's been challenges in our life at the table and there's tough decisions that have to be made, the first thing we've always done as leaders has stop. We're getting too frustrated. We need to pray because we're getting in the way of the actual task of what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, there's hope, and always run and pray, because that's going to be your most powerful inner strength to be able to conquer anything that's in front of you.
We've had a lot of conversations about how faithful you are and how it has helped you in the challenging jobs that you have. One concept you introduced me to several years ago was very different than sort of the governance and policy model that I'm in, which is more about today and tomorrow, is your thoughtfulness about making decisions that are beneficial through 7 generations of family members. And can you explain what that is to our audience? What does that mean to think about 7 generations?
Well, I think the number one thing about that whole concept is nothing stays the same. And humans tend to forget that. We get stuck in now and the way we want it to be. So your concept has always got to be, you're changing every day. You change your mind 20 million times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7 generation concept with that is, it just goes back to, it's not about us. It's right. About creating a pathway for others. The tribe had bought 12,000 acres. And that 12,000 acres has millions of trees on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not going to be a time in my lifetime where I'm going to be able to go out there and cut a tree and timber it and do all that. Because right now in our position, we're creating the policies for the generation that will.
Generations, yeah.
And that they will be able to make decisions on how the infrastructure of that's going to be further down the road. We're creating the path of how that property should be managed with mm-hmm. current resources and understanding of what's now. It's just setting that foundation for them, and then it'll just say, this is where what we thought, and now they can critique it to make it better to where they're at. And it's just kind of like rolling out the carpet for them a little bit mm-hmm. and laying it out for them in a concept to where, wow. And you're just trying to clear a path for them. Like right now, another thing that had happened in the tribe, we just did an amendment vote. You know, we had a vote to where our children could not be enrolled. So we had to brainstorm ideas to collectively, as a tribe, how can we do this in a good way? How can we keep everything sustained? How can we ensure that the work of the tribe goes beyond us
right.
further? And it was a difficult conversation because we all had different ideas. But we ended up finding a pathway to where we didn't want to be bombarded by excessive people that, because there's mm-hmm. a huge group of people out there and they're our family that are Snoqualmie. But we wanted to be able to sustain the individuals that have been rightfully in the tribe currently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we created that pathway for our descendants to continue to be participants and actively engaged in the tribe. And so it's just forward thinking mm-hmm. a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And it's laying out a path and paying attention to what's going on in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's always evolving changes, making sure that we're trying to look 20, 30 years down the road. It's like, okay, what is that going to look like? And we had a great teacher. Our grandfather, he was very ministerial. He was deeply engulfed in the Word of God, Bible. And he had visions, literally had visions and dreams. And if it wasn't for those recordings, we probably wouldn't be as far down the road as we are
now. What a legacy he left to you. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And so it's been interesting to hear, because we were a part of those teachings. I could remember being in a room. I was sitting on that wall, on that floor, and I was trying to do homework. And this is what he said. Yeah. And some of those things are here now.
Yeah.
Buying water.
Yeah.
You could be in a couple places at the same time, which is Zoom.
And yeah. Yeah.
Who would have thought?
It's just, like I told you before, it gives me chills when you guys talk about it. It's such a long lens to planning and policy work that people in government do. But you have changed the way I think about decisions now. Trying to use a 7-generation lens is a real challenge. but I appreciate it. And I really have learned so many things from you over the last 4 years that I'm really glad you could join me today. It has been wonderful. And if you would like to do a sign-off in the Shutsi, that would be beautiful.
What?
Hoi.
Bye. See you later.
I love it. Thank you. So thank you, everyone, for joining me today, interviewing two of our tribal council members for the Snoqualmie Tribe, Suzanne and Jolene. Thank you very much.
Yay.
Thank you.